Welcome to Skills for Crisis, a podcast about discussing the tools, practices, and solidarities we might need to face crisis together. The podcast is part of the project Skills for Crisis, Nurturing Communities Beyond Tipping Points. We went on a journey through topics around recentering mental health, solidarity in times of climate disasters, civil society work and mutual aid, and understanding the path of people on the move. The project is inspired by many activist groups, individual work, generations of thoughts and events. The main partners to organize this series of workshops, lectures and media outputs are three collectives: HUMOS, Educate Collective and Jazz Kulturi. We are educators, publicists and activists from Germany, Austria, Poland and Belarus. We want to thank, appreciate and honor generations of Black, Indigenous and people of color activists that have inspired us and many of the concepts and resources, like those contributing to the book Hospicing Modernity by Vanessa Machado de Oliveira, Adrienne Marie Brown, and many others. Crisis is not necessarily an exception, it's actually the norm, especially for marginalized people. From ecological collapse to political authoritarianism to economic instability, social fragmentation, and the effects of everyday discrimination. For many people here and elsewhere, it has always been a reality. And for many, when growing older, we might face the realization, oh, it's not temporary, but it's here to last. Movements are rising to meet these moments, but often at a cost. Organizers are burning out, grief and trauma go unspoken, activist spaces fracture under pressure. But luckily, more and more people recenter mental health, invest in collective care practices, and offer skills and trainings to go through difficult times together. One of them is Collective Care Berlin, who have facilitated a workshop with us in the framework of the project. I'm joined today by Julia and Alice from Collective Care Berlin. It's so nice to have you. So nice to have been working with you. It was an honor and a pleasure to do these workshops with you and all the work that we did. Thank you so much for being here. Before you introduce your work a bit, I want to know if you feel like you could guide us through an exercise that can help our listeners and us to settle a bit, to arrive.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having us and welcome everyone. We would like to invite us to a moment of becoming present to our body and to our shared space, which is virtual, and you also have your physical space. It's an open and gentle invitation to just settle, and you can decide if you want to keep your eyes open or closed, or have kind of a soften your gaze, and just start noticing how your feet are touching the ground and how maybe you are sitting, or if you are standing, just notice your posture and your gravity. We do this practice to connect and to trust your body's wisdom. And start noticing your breath and open your mouth. Let the breath journal and travel throughout your whole body, bringing your attention to what is supporting you right now. If it's the feet touching the ground, then you can squeeze your toes a bit. If it is the chair beneath you or in your back, touching the chair. Or if it is any part of your body you want to touch that can give you a sense of grounding and support. Could be touching your hands, touching your chest. There is no right or wrong. It's a practice that will allow us to connect to our body and to our sensations. And just notice how your breath is nourishing your cells, nourishing your skin, nourishing your organs. Let the air go in and out in a natural way, or as it feels natural to you. We will invite us, whoever wants, to slowly open your eyes, and we will do a practice that will support us to also activate our vagal nervous and to become present to space. And if you wanna open your eyes gently and finding and looking around you, and try to find five green things that you can see around you. This will also activate the rotation of our eyes. You can look for something detailed, something you didn't notice before, something small. Look around, up and behind you. Searching for something you didn't notice before in your own room or office, or if you do it while walking outside the surroundings. And now we want to invite you to find and four things you can touch and feel. Be curious about the texture. Experiment with what you have around you. Let your sensation be surprised by new surfaces. And now we want to invite you to pay attention and find three things you can hear. Could be something in the background, the surroundings, but maybe something you can hear within you, some subtle noise and sound your body is producing. Maybe our stomach, the sound of our teeth. And now transitioning into two things you can smell. Could be maybe your skin, a plant that is maybe cohabiting and living with you, or the pen you use to journal. And now, one last sensation about one thing you can taste. Maybe it's the coffee you were just drinking, your own saliva. Maybe you wanna lick and taste a new surface, and again, inviting some curiosity into this practice of activating our senses. And I invite us to just stretch and expand, open your arms, rotating your shoulders and neck, inviting kind of a shaking, and having one last, maybe a bit longer, breathing in and a bit longer out. Sending air into your belly. And yes, becoming more present in our own body, in our own space, and in this shared space. Yeah, thank you, Fina.
Thank you so much for guiding us through these little grounding. Can you tell me a bit about your work that you do with Collective Care Berlin, and why did you start it? Why do you think it's so important to see mental health more from a collective care point of view? And what changes when you see mental health and crisis and collapse as something that is shared and political and not something individual and individualized and something that you have to go through on your own?
With Collective Care Berlin, we started from actual need that we see in our movements and in society, and with a work around social transformation that, in the framework of Citizens Lab, an organization we are connected and part of, we see as urgent need to bring into the world. And I would like to start with a short quote that is also informing a bit the deeper why we decided to do this work of deeper social transformation and bringing new practices in the work of activism and transformative learning. And the quote is from Zainab Ahmadahi and says, "Capitalism, colonialism, and heteropatriarchy make us sick. Are our responses healing us? Are our actions generating well-being for others? Or are we unintentionally reproducing the kind of relationships that made us sick in the first place?" And I think the deeper reason why we want to do the work of Collective Care Berlin and in the broader container of the Citizens Lab as an organization based in Berlin and intervening also across wider Europe is exactly because we see the need to recenter relationality in the work of social transformation, social justice, and also regenerative activism being one part of this work. The idea of Collective Care Berlin came after 1 year of practicing regenerative cultures with a group of learners, facilitators, artists, activists, researchers based in Berlin, and realizing how much this work of being in the questioning, how are we maybe reproducing systems of harm in our teams, in our projects, in our activists and collectives, can in the end hinder and re-traumatize, or anyway not bring to the deeper transformation and the systemic change we want to see in society. And after 1 year of practicing together, some of us had the idea to bring this work to Berlin, where we are based, and especially after the urgency of seeing the oppression and all the narratives around the genocide in Palestine, which many of us were active in, and we decided to also offer a space for deepening the relationship and relationality for activists and to center, in that sense, mental health and our emotions and the learnings around somatic practices into activism. And then maybe to add on this is also the work you see is oriented around the three core disconnection that also Silvia Federici, contemporary philosopher, is speaking about in her different research and books, which we want to address in the how, in the methods that we bring with the work that we do, which is the disconnection from the land. So our relationship to place, to the cycles of nature and the rhythm of nature, and to feeling the modern human and this sense of interconnectedness, the disconnection from the body, that is really centering our minds and our cognitive intelligences, and we want to bring back into the center the intelligence of the somatic, the soma, and the body, and how much knowledge it carries. And as well, then the disconnection from each other, how this fragmentation in community, it's one of the core crises of this polycrisis we see manifesting then at the political, ecological, economic, and societal dimension, and how, in this sense, the practice of collective care connected with self-care, it's becoming crucial into building this stronger web of relationality. And in that sense, also to build the resilience and the strength to create new potential and new imaginations that we need.
Thank you. So, maybe we do have to be a bit shorter
I
than.
will be very short.
Maybe looking at the next questions, we can decide which one we care about. Thank you so much. It's obviously very important to practice care together, and like this is also what we're about as a collective, and what you are about as a collective. And still, like the practice is not that easy. Like in practice, it doesn't always look like that. So how can we practice this? Like, what does it look in the everyday life when everything is also stressful? We still live in this conditions that you mentioned. We have all this pressure. What are specific examples of psychological skills during crisis, or also the collapse that we're facing as friends, as comrades, as activists? Like, we want it, but how? Can you give us examples for groups that might be necessary or useful?
Yeah, thank you. I'm Julia. Yeah, I think as Alice said before, we are facing a very tragic moment, and we are conscious that practice in collective care it can often feel very difficult because we are educated to feel and to solve everything alone. So what Alice was saying, this structural disconnection between each other and between us and the nature. So even if we can be conscious that we need support, we need togetherness, we need the kindness, it's difficult because with consciousness we reproduce the same power dynamics, the dynamics of the dominant. So we have to do double work, like to recognize this and to build, so to learn and unlearn what is this practice of collective care. And these are practices that when we started to offer to the Berlin movement for the liberation of Palestine, but also other struggles, we immediately understood that people, even if they were from collectives or even individual, but very active, it was often shared that they were feeling very, very isolated, very lonely. So this means that we need collective care, we need collective practices, and we need on maybe not on a daily basis, but weekly basis. Like we have to keep these practices as we read books together, as we do assembly together. We have to put these practices in our political and social approach. And so, for example, in our little collective, we decided to have support pods, rotating roles to not let any one of us be alone and facing troubles or problems alone. So to avoid, for example, burnouts, to agree, to make agreement on resting. Like we need to rest. For example, you can decide after a campaign or a big struggles or a big demonstration, whatever, that afterwards, not only feedbacks or criticism, but really to have a rest moment to bring out what these struggles mean to me, what brought in my body, in my emotions, and also share decision making and the brief rituals. So also to come back on our ancestral heritage to make rituals together, because this brings to us also meaningful things, not like meaningful moments. And so for us, regenerative activism means this, like try to break
to break this reproducing system of oppression and be like embodying in our activism a way to do what we do in a regenerative way. And on emotional and psychological way, it's to really to understand, to stop and to understand what we are really feeling as comrades and as activists, as friends, and what we can use to with each other. And it's, for example, to be present, to regulate our emotions, to support one another through emotional and physical challenges. So, for example, we can use emotional regulation that helps us to really understand what we are feeling. And so when we feel that we are triggered, to name and to come back to the learning zone. So to come out from our comfort zone and to really understand that if we are feeling something strange, it means that we are learning something with the others, with our friends and our comrades and our group. Co-regulation. So when feelings can be expressed without judgment, like for example, this judgment theory, like and theory, it's very important, like to really, and then we pass to another very important tool is to deep listening and witnessing. That most of the time, it's really true that we are not educated to really deep listening and witnessing, and this means to take time to be together without even saying nothing. I'm here for you. I'm able to listen to you, and I'm able also to not judge you and not tell you anything, just like I'm present here for you. And this is a very deep and important practice where like feelings can really comes out and can really be maybe solved or at least processed with some other people. And then like yeah, grief literacy, like when we really give to grief space about losing people, losing also the safe idea on of the ecology, of the political situation that is going on. So it's everything can feel as a great loss. So this great loss we have to face together. And in these times is also very important, and we also saw from the feminist and transfeminist movement, like how to put boundaries, like important boundaries that for us as are important in some times of our lives, to let the other understand where from. Until where I can be active or I can be important as functional, but also without also escalating. Like if I'm not able to bring on a situation, a struggle, whatever, I can say it, and my group and my comrades should understand me, my boundaries. And then to bring somatic in our practices, and one of the most important for us is also using the imagination as a tool of resistance. So to not be pushed down from the system, but try to give space also to our collective imagination, and take back strength from this collective imagination.
Thank you so much for sharing all these examples and very specific skills that we have to learn and unlearn. And thank you for sharing. There is two things that came to my mind. Maybe I can say them shortly. One thing that came to my mind when you were talking is that like the nervous system regulation in one of our workshops, many people say that like this regulation that sounds again like, it's like you have to regulate your emotions, right? And the other day I read something which was very nice, which I want to also give back to you, is like that our nervous system needs care. So it's not really about regulating our nervous system to be like in control again or to feel fine again or something, but it's telling us something. So it needs care. So the practices that you also shared in your workshops, maybe that we can see them as nervous system care also. And then again, like as a German, like a person who was born and raised in German, all this talks like about ancestors, I always feel like, should we really? So I think that one of the problems why it's so hard also in Germany, like to establish these kind of practices, because we really didn't learn to do that, and we really there was such a strong break and so much violence in our history and so much pain and grief, also by pain and grief as doing harm, that it's really hard to unlearn this. And introducing these collective care practice in a German plenum is like, wow, you can try. But it's really important. And I think like even with little steps, like centering emotions more and everything, like this is really important.
Exactly.
Yeah, but that's also the let's say the challenge we want to bring and contribute to. And definitely it's a learning by doing and introducing step by step and always seeing how open the people are, but also this what Julia mentioned, the learning zone, how can we expand exploring with curiosity other ways of being together, which were much part of a communal way and not such an independent way or of being in the world, of seeing the world. And in that sense, what we also wanna invite everyone to introduce this kind of a process. In the beginning, always we want to make space for every voice to be heard, for every body to be acknowledged and be seen and present through a check-in, through a somatic, becoming present to your body sensation. And this is already creating different conditions for them, people to be vulnerable with one another and to build deeper trust. And this practice seems in the beginning impossible to bring, but we see slowly how it's becoming more and more part of group, collectives, teams, different organization, introducing the check-in or becoming present practice and not thinking, are we doing therapy? No, we're not doing therapy. We are witnessing and becoming present and acknowledging our full selves as we are not separated selves by although that's what they want us to believe, to be able to function and produce constantly. And in that sense, then there is the process, if it's a grief circle, a witnessing, listening to one another, listening to the stories, using also creativity, claim that we are all having the right to be creative and use colors, paint, art, music, move, theater, so that it's giving us new inspiration. And then in that sense, it's also important what you say is this regulation is not about shutting us down, but actually allowing for the people who have the most need right now to be centered and to be listened to do in a container where we are all responsible, and that's what we often open the space is with the concept of brave space, so that we are all supporting one another to make the space and the container as safe as possible, where we pay attention to the words that we use to learn to not inter to intervene, to learn to just acknowledge, to say yes. Now I am still in a white supremacist society where I need to stay with my discomfort and just listen. And this is something that we need to practice a lot still. And then finally, to acknowledge that then opening such a space needs a bit of integration, and we cannot just go back into outside spaces. And so how we often invite simple practices of maybe with touch or with without touch, but like it's breathing or touch, massaging, like having supporting practices that integrate the experience, and not just then going back into what the outside world is still challenging us with. Just wanted to add a few things.
Thank you. I think the integration part is important. And now back to who picks up the posters? One thing that maybe is also challenging for people, or is something that makes them maybe hesitant to start introducing practices in their groups, for example, is that they're not sure if they can hold the space in the way that it needs to, right? Like, because what if things come up and then you're like the group is not ready, for example. And so also the what we have faced during our work, like one person, for example, said like this needs to be done by a professional, you have to be trained for it, and so on and so forth. This is also a broad belief, I think, that people need professional training, and that is certainly true, and many things we can't hold space for, but some things we can and we should. And is that something that you also came across and maybe want to shortly share something about? I will rephrase that question because there was. Is that something you also came across in your work? And do you shortly want to say something about how you deal with this balancing, let's say, like how much can we hold the space for and how which is not for us?
Yes, I think I can contribute a bit to answer this question. And I definitely think that to a certain extent, or to go deeper into our embodied traumas, we do need professional people who have studied that. At the same time, as you mentioned, we do hold a lot of capacities to hold each other's pain. And for example, when we host a grieving ritual, we also invite people to see how far they wanna share about their pain that they're going through. And what we observed is that there is a kind of there is a sort of energy that it's creating while everybody is bringing the full attention to what the person is sharing. And this is often going beyond the individual trauma, but is going into the level of very deeper pain that we all shared, or many people have shared. And in that sense, we do observe kind of Almost like a transformative moment where the person that has kind of also this deep emotional sharing being held by the group. And what we also always have is one or two dedicated additional care persons that can go and accompany the person to another room or to having a walk. And definitely those sessions are not spaces that we want to fix. It's a space to be, as we were speaking, witness and to be listened to and to reconnect to a space of emotions and what we can recommend is definitely to go and practice. And it's both through learning and reading and practicing that you also learn. It's definitely a learn by doing. And I'm not here to say that we don't need a therapist anymore, but it's also to encourage everyone to re-explore how much actually we do have capacity to breathe together, to not intervene, but just be there and listen, to offer silence and pause. Some of these practices, we think they're very simple, but we should not underestimate them. And in that sense, the role of space holders are that's in a way what we see as one of the roles that we need more. And also to recognize, I want to mention that we put spotlight into certain roles in collectives, and often there is the people who hold these capacities and competencies, and sometimes are also the less outspoken people, the one who are really feeling that you think they're more introvert or shy, and actually are the people who could hold a lot of the space. And it's also nice exercise to look at the different roles that we should and could have in our groups and communities. And there is often those roles of caring for bringing food, having kind of a more hospitality, preparing the space, and this kind of all aspects of capturing the narratives and those are roles that are still made invisible but are really core to these kind of practices of collective care. And that's also why we say, yeah, I truly believe that all of us can do, and definitely listening to how much you can hold and seeing when somebody is ready, or also to come to our learning spaces and trainings, which often are for free, and to learn in community.
Thank you so much. Before I let you go, before we let we say goodbye to our listeners, one more thing that I learned from your workshop is a poem.
So I forgot to record one thing. My Zoom froze. What did you say? Sorry, I
Just do it
didn't
again.
hear. It happened finally. Yeah.
Finally, see? Makes sense. But we listened, we could hear all your answer. So it was fine.
But I forgot to record, I have to say. Nice.
That's all
So,
the recording is good enough.
yeah, I really have 5 minutes, but
Yes.
we want to add, or we should we read the poem, or Julia, you want to add
Yeah,
something?
see, the Fine just ask, like
Ah.
they say that they remember
If you still have
the
the
poem.
moment, otherwise you can maybe record the poem another time and
Okay. Or if you have to go, I can also read it as you want.
No, I mean, I can read it quickly, and then if it doesn't look beautiful, actually, it could be nice to maybe record it with some birds outside. Let's see. I could also think of recording again your landscape and water, and send it to you again, and maybe you could decide to use it.
You want, I can put music in the back.
We can also post edit some parts.
Yeah, exactly. Shall we
Okay.
introduce or we just read? I just read
I
quickly.
would just shortly say that, like, that was an important moment for me in the workshops and. Thank you so much, Alice. One more thing that I remember deeply from our workshops was a poem that you read. And if you would like to share, I think our listeners will also appreciate.
Yes, we're happy to bring this poem by Iris Jordan called Honoring My Pain. Don't try and fix it. Let me feel my pain. I refuse to be numb. Don't tranquilize me when I have a psychotic break. I've been propping myself up for years. Popping pills to make the nightmares go away, smiling to keep from crying. Let me feel the pain I have hid behind by degrees and educational pursuits, because the world told me I was not good enough. Don't try and fix it. Let me breathe through it, because I've been holding my breath for what seems like years. Don't tell me I am overreacting, and give me your prayers or forgiveness. Let me feel it. It won't kill me. I was told once you have to feel it to heal it, but I've been cruise controlling on numb, too afraid that if I came to grips with the truth, my truth, and our truth, that you will lose faith in me. Let my tears fall like a waterfall into the earth. Let me be wild with emotion as I work through my guilt and shame, the burdens placed on me that never belonged to me. Let me cry for my ancestors who died with grief. Let me wail on behalf of the abused men and women who were told not to make a sound. Let me cry for my nation and many nations under God. I am human. I am alive. Let me honor my pain. And don't you dare try and fix it, because really, you are afraid that you will lose it. If I don't stop, my pain is your pain. My grief is your grief. Let me feel it so that I can move forward.
Thank you so much, both of you, Julia and Alicia. If this poem has touched you and you want support and collective care, then we welcome you and invite you to reach out for it to your loved ones, or if you feel this might not be the good, if you feel this might not be the best, then and you need more professional care, we also encourage you to reach out. If you have the resources and capacities to it, I also invite you to see this podcast as a circle so you can go back to the beginning and start with the first exercise that our hosts have been guiding us through. You can listen to the podcast in a circle as long as you need. And thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Julia and Alicia, for being here. Thank you so much for the collaboration that we had. I really enjoyed, and I wish you all the best for the important work that you do.
Thank you. Thank you so
Thank
much.
you.
Yeah.
That's lovely to be listening to one another.